L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I am your host, Dan Harris. You can find me on Twitter at DanHarris80. With me, of course, is Kyle Yates for our Tuesday episode. You can find him on Twitter at KyleYNFL. Yates, how are you?
I'm good, man. I am slowly but surely getting better and better as from a health standpoint. So I can't complain, but we had good football on the TV last night. And I'm in a good spot, man.
I think I've cracked sports gambling, which is if you are getting points and you can back Patrick Mahomes, you just do that because it's ridiculous not to. The Chiefs were getting 3.5 points last night. You just can't get away from that. But we are going to break down that game and we are going to talk about our rest of season rankings, some risers and fallers. We're going to do a lot of trade stuff. We've got great questions from our listener mailbag on Twitter that people sent in. So we got a lot of stuff today. Before we get into it, Yates, let's talk about the, pretty big news. I don't know necessarily how we're supposed to analyze it from a fantasy perspective. We're doing this on Tuesday morning. News legitimately just broke that there are several confirmed COVID cases for the Titans, and they're shutting down in-person facility stuff until Saturday, at least. They're supposed to play, I believe, the Steelers this weekend. And also, of course, they played the Vikings this past weekend, and they play Houston. It is possible that either or both of those games is going to get postponed. We were sort of talking about it very briefly before we started recording. I don't know what sort of takeaways we can have. This isn't all that unexpected. I mean, this is the way it works in the world right now with COVID. So I don't know whether or not there's any real fantasy takeaways we can do other that if you are rostering players on any of those four teams, make sure you have waiver claims to back up whoever your main players are on those teams, right? Is there any other takeaway that we can give at this moment?
Not really. I think the main thing is obviously we're hoping that this isn't as major as it's all being, made out to be. And again, we're instant reacting to this. It just broke before we started recording. So obviously the hope is that it's not as serious as everyone is, thinking that it could be. But yeah, we definitely have to start preparing. And again, this was the expectation going into the season, was that we could see some of these games actually be delayed, postponed. Like, this was a reality. And so the fact that we got through 3 weeks without a game being postponed or significant number of players coming back with positive COVID tests, like, that was an anomaly. And I think we all took it for granted. So hopefully that this isn't a major deal. Hopefully we get football with these four teams, because I can't imagine playing, going through a week without Jonnu Smith. My fantasy teams desperately need.
How are you going to survive that?
I don't know. I don't know who I'm going to pick up. So it's like we're hoping for that, but there really isn't much to analyze. Obviously, stay tuned. We'll keep you guys updated and we'll go through the fantasy fallout. So if and when that happens, but for right now, there isn't much to analyze.
I think the biggest thing that I could say is, you may know more about this by the time you listen to this, but for example, there's a draft that I'm in from the FSGA. So, an expert league draft. On that team, I roster Derrick Henry, James Conner, and David Johnson. And so all of them might be out to the extent those games are canceled this weekend. So when I'm putting in my waiver claims, I'm going to be focusing on making sure I have warm bodies that I can play. That's the only real type of thing I think you need to be thinking about right now if we don't have clarity before your waivers run, right? That's the big thing.
I'll say this really quick too. Like the plan, I think, would be that you would push these bye weeks back for these teams, right? It's not like this game just suddenly falls off the face of the planet for, you know, these teams, that you will alter their bye weeks. So now it's just, you view it as a bye week and you move forward with that. But yeah, for that to be unexpected, that's a little tough.
Yeah. And also, I want to make it clear, because Yates, I actually filled in for you on that draft when you were supposed to do it. I also drafted Jonnu Smith in your honor. So I'm going to be way down some people this week. But again, hopefully, of course, health is the biggest thing. Hopefully everybody's okay. And second, we'll see how the NFL deals with it. But for right now, there's a lot of uncertainty. And again, the news broke like 5 minutes before that. And I've got my notifications set on Twitter. So if something breaks on this podcast, we will address it. But again, we've got a lot to get to today. A lot of trade talk, a lot of rest of season rankings talk. We've got to break down last night so you can take your victory lap. Again, nobody has had a better start to the season than Kyle Yates. But before we do, it is September 29th as we record this. Our monster giveaway ends in a day. It ends at 11:59 p.m. on September 30th. That is tomorrow. Signed Clyde Edwards. If I'm apparently, if you're listening to Monday Night Football, you're supposed to pronounce it Clyde Edwards Elaire Chiefs helmet.
So frustrating.
A Clyde Edwards Elaire Chiefs helmet. A $200 gift card for Pristine Auction. A $200 gift card to Porter Road Butcher. A package of fantasy football goods for your league champion and last place loser from Trophy Smack. A 1 month subscription to Fubo TV. If you are the winner and you are subscribed to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros, you will get an extra $100 credit to Pristine Auction. To go to fantasypros.com/contest, fill out the form there. And what that involves is you leaving an honest review for the show on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, and you sending a screenshot of that review through that website, fantasypros.com/contest, and you send in the screenshot. Okay, Chiefs 34, Ravens 20, Patrick Mahomes, absolutely incredible. 5 total touchdowns, 4 passing, 1 rushing, 385 yards passing. Touchdowns go to Mecole Hardman, Tyreek Hill, Anthony Sherman, and Eric Fisher.
Meanwhile, like we all predicted.
I mean, very sorry we didn't rank Eric Fisher this week. Our bad over there. Meanwhile, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 20 carries, 64 yards. Not great, but what you love to see and what everybody worried about a little bit in his first game, he is involved in the air. 6 targets, 5 catches, 70 yards. And Travis Kelce, of course, chips in with 6 catches for 87 yards. I think you know you're starting your main Chiefs, but who I want to talk about are the lesser receivers, the guys you're not always starting. Mecole Hardman does catch a touchdown pass, as I mentioned. 6 targets, 4 catches, 81 yards, and a touchdown. Sammy Watkins, 8 targets, 7 catches, 62 yards. He was a little iffy coming in because he was going through the concussion protocol, but he cleared it, and he played well. Watkins actually led the team in snaps for receivers at 65, and Mecole Hardman had just 29. So are you looking at either one of these guys for your fantasy roster if you are in need of a receiver?
I mean, Watkins, yeah, for him to come in with the potential, it was a concussion, right? Concussion concerns. He cleared concussion protocol. So for him to come in off of that and deliver the type of performance that he didn't do a ton after the catch. I remember just watching that game, and like he went down as soon as he got the ball. It was really funny. But we can't ignore what he's doing. And so he can be a consistent wide receiver. I mean, he's in the best offense in the NFL. Like, we can't ignore the wide receiver two, potentially, like you said, the wide receiver one from a snap count perspective. So yeah, we can't ignore it. I think he's a wide receiver three moving forward. He looks healthy. He looks like he's going to be on the field moving forward. So yeah, we definitely have to treat him like that. Mecole Hardman, with only 29 snaps, like, he's a player that you can roll in to your flex if you're in a deep league, if you are desperate, you need a wide receiver, you can roll him in there because he always has the potential to come away with a long touchdown and absolutely help your team. But he also has the potential to go 0 for 0. You know, like, that's just, it's a wide range of outcomes for him. I'm not willing to trust him yet as anything more than a desperation flex play.
Okay, so I agree with you completely on Hardman. He just doesn't have the snaps. He is going to boom like these games because he's super fast and Mahomes is amazing and there are going to be touchdowns, but he's not somebody you can rely on. Certainly Watkins is a guy who's in consideration. So I want to give everybody a little bit of insight into my process. I update my rest of season rankings after Sunday. Sometimes I do it during Sunday a little bit just to start the process. I do a little bit of a sweep on Monday and I get it going and I do it. But then Tuesday, today, it's the day I write the trade chart. And those are that's based on my rest of season rankings. So I do a deep dive into it this afternoon. We have a lot of stuff. Go to our YouTube channel. I mean, this will be after you listen to it. But we Yates and I do a waiver wire live stream at 2 o'clock Eastern on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros on Tuesdays. After that, I get to work on really locking down my rest of season rankings. So I will say, Yates, you mentioned Sammy Watkins, you think can be a wide receiver 3. Right now I'm 43rd in my rest of season rankings, but I have not really dug deep. That was even before I kind of dug into the data from last night, saw how many snaps he played. So he might be moving up actually into that borderline wide receiver 3 range. My guess is he's going to fall for me just outside of it, but he is a guy who I think you can start. So for me, he's 43rd. Yates, I don't know if you've updated since last night or if you know exactly where you have him.
Yep,
or
anything. I've got him at 38. Okay. So in that same range.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. Okay. Let's go to the Ravens here. There's plenty to unpack. Not a good game for Lamar Jackson. And this is the only kind of worry that you have when they fall behind, which is a rare thing. 15 of 28 passing, just 97 yards and a touchdown, 83 yards on the ground. And he doesn't destroy you. Can I just assume the concern level on Lamar Jackson is 0.0 and move on?
Yeah, I actually think you can potentially go out and acquire him for cheap now. There are going to be some fantasy managers that are going to panic over 97 passing yards, but they get Washington next week. They're going to be playing with the lead yet again. So I think Jackson, we'll just call it what it is. Jackson did not look good. Like, he missed Marquise Brown on a wide open touchdown, just did not sail it enough for him, like underthrew the ball, like just did not look good. Accuracy all game long struggled. So it's not great, but this is still Lamar Jackson. We still need to be viewing him as a top tier fantasy QB because of his rushing ability. And if he connects on one or two of those throws, and knowing Lamar from what he's done in the past, like he's going to come out and he's going to be ticked off about this game. He's going to come back and he's going to be a man on a mission next week. So I expect a big performance from him next week. I'm not panicking, but it does present a buy low window for him. If you can go to the owner, the fantasy manager that has Lamar Jackson, you can offer, you know, I don't know, you can offer Cam Newton or I don't know, but we can get into that later. But Lamar Jackson could be a buy low candidate.
Okay, so I mean, I think I have more faith in fantasy managers than to think that you could actually buy low on Lamar Jackson. Let me ask something. Russell Wilson or Lamar Jackson going forward?
You can't ignore what Russ is doing.
Do you have Russell Wilson ahead of Lamar Jackson?
It's a good question.
Thanks.
Pulling it up.
That's what I do.
I have Lamar at 1 and Wilson at 2.
Correct. That's what I'm sort of saying. Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes. It's fine to have Patrick Mahomes number 1. I believe I had Mahomes. I basically flip-flopped the two of them coming in. I love Russell Wilson, but he's going to be 3rd for me, I'm almost positive. Again, I'm going to dig into everything. So maybe to the extent there is quote-unquote buying low on Lamar Jackson, you could do it that way. But either way, I highly doubt that you're going to be able to get him for a song or anything like that. But let's go to the running backs, Yates, for the Ravens, because I don't know what we're doing. Your leader in touches for the running backs is Mark Ingram, 7 carries for 30 yards. Your leader in snaps for the running backs is J.K. Dobbins with 45% of the snaps. Your leader in rushing production is Gus Edwards with 39 yards rushing. Dobbins, 45% of the snaps. Mark Ingram, 28% of the snaps. Gus Edwards, 25% of the snaps. Are you starting any of these Ravens running backs for now? And if so, which one?
It's still Mark Ingram for me, but I don't think you can start him as anything more than a low-end RB2.
Yeah, I'm lower than that, man. I mean, that's the thing. And this is one where I haven't updated it since sort of I've gone through with the snaps, which I did just this morning. He was 24th for me in my rest of season rankings. He's got to drop. He's got to be outside of RB2 range. There's just no way. And I get that this game was a little weird because they weren't able to run it as effectively as they wanted to. They were behind and stuff like that. But I just don't know how you can rely on any of these guys. So all of them, Ingram for me is still going to be the top ranked Ravens running back for now. But he's definitely in that flex range. You could still start him as a flex. I think there will be better days. But for me, he's fallen into that flex range. But Ingram is the guy if you're starting one of them, right?
Yeah, this was the game. This was the game to inspire confidence for fantasy managers for Mark Ingram. That if Ingram could come out and, you know, be involved in this game plan, because the projection was that this game was going to be close, right? And that it was going to be, they were going to need Mark Ingram further than what they've had in the past, where they're blowing out these other teams. So this was the game that Mark Ingram needed to come out and just go off, and he certainly did not.
Yeah. I've kind of been cheerleading Mark Ingram. I thought there would be better days. I'm now officially worried. Any concern about Hollywood Brown? I mean, he could have had the bigger game, of course. 6 targets in each game, just 2 for 13 last night, 156 total yards on the season.
I'm concerned. And I think this was always the thing with Marquise Brown, that if he scores, you're going to be super happy that you started him. If he doesn't, he's just not going to get the yardage and the opportunity to return top-tier value. So I've bet on Marquise Brown the past 2 weeks, and I've ranked him as a top 20 receiver both of the past 2 weeks. Has not worked out because everything pointed that this was going to be a big week for Marquise Brown. And with Lamar struggling as much as he did last night, did not work out. So yeah, I'm concerned and I'm bumping him down now. I'm probably never going to rank him until we see it happen. I'm not going to rank him above maybe a top 30 wide receiver going into the week.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with that. I also liked him this week and I liked him rest of season coming in, but I'm starting to get a little worried right now. I mean, he's still a wide receiver 3 for me that you're going to start each and every week because of that. But yeah, I agree. It's going to be very difficult. Maybe I could see him being higher than top 30, but I highly doubt he's going to crack the top 24 for me. So he's going to be more of a wide receiver 3. And any concerns about Mark Andrews? An almost touchdown last night. He brought that one in. But since his big game, since everybody yelled at me for calling him a guy to avoid at his ADP, he's got 4 catches for 51 yards. Any concerns about Mark Andrews? Or is this just, look, he was inconsistent last year. He's probably going to be a little inconsistent this year given the offense, but he's still going to be a top 3 tight end at the end of the season.
Yeah, I'm not panicking and I'm not moving him off like a top 5. I'm still buying in. I still think that this is a dynamic offense. I still think you can trust him moving forward. But yeah, you definitely can't expect. I mean, and again, I talked about this on whatever show that was Friday, saying that I would not be shocked if Travis Kelce and Mark Andrews finished the week as the tight end 1 and tight end 2. And it certainly did not happen. So I'm concerned, but yet that's a relative term because Mark Andrews has been just so dominant up to this point of his career that I can still be concerned and keep him within my top 5.
All right, before we keep going, guys, I have a confession to make. You know that one team of your 10 or 20 or however many you have that you really, really care about? Well, for me, that one team is struggling. 2 matchups each week. And I'm 1-5 on the season. It hurts. I'm constantly just getting these horrible beats where I go up against the top scorer of the week. But you know what has made that just a little easier to digest this year? Because I've made a ton of winning lineups each week on FanDuel. Do you play FanDuel? You must, right? I mean, you are a smart person. You're already listening to this podcast. If you haven't, though, now is the time to start. If you sign up now, you're going to get a free entry to a contest each week of the football season where you can win real prizes. If you make a deposit, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with their 20% deposit match. But what if you're like me, you've played on FanDuel forever and you want to just get even more out of DFS? Now you can, because there are snake drafts on FanDuel. You know, classic DFS, you build your team, you stay under the salary cap. But with a daily snake draft, you draft your team live. You and your opponents draft 6 players. It's a 6-round draft, 30 seconds per pick. No salary cap, just the best part of fantasy, drafting. With FanDuel, it is quick, it is easy, it is fun. Just go to FanDuel.com/FantasyPros or download the FanDuel Fantasy app to play now. That's FanDuel.com/FantasyPros. FanDuel, more ways to win.
All right, let's talk about some trades here. I mentioned this last week, Gates. You weren't on the show because you were a little under the weather, but you know, we have this My Playbook feature, which is great. It gives you waiver help. It gives you trade help, all this great stuff. People import their leagues into it, you know, when you get help with your draft and you get help with your season. And from that, we are able to see the most traded players in leagues where people have imported their teams. So I write an article about it each week. It's basically 10 trades to try to make now based on the most traded players for that week. So I can sort it by date. So what I've done is I've sorted it over basically since week 3 ended. So I'm seeing all the people that have been traded. So I want to talk about a couple of the players that are on that list because I want to talk about what you would be doing if you rostered them or if you needed a running back or a wide receiver, whether or not you think they would be a target. So start with Mike Davis here. He is the 3rd most. Now, he had a big game in the first game against the Chargers, 13 for 46 on the ground, not that great. But the big thing, they're playing from ahead, and yet he still had 8 catches for 45 yards and a touchdown. We know Christian McCaffrey is going to miss at least 2 more weeks because he's on IR. It could be longer. He was given the 4-6 week timetable. So
Let me ask you, start with this. If you roster Mike Davis right now, are you trying to trade him or are you just like, great, I'm going to enjoy the next couple of weeks and then deal with the fallout later?
I think if you can trade him for a season-long asset, then absolutely do that. Because Mike Davis's fantasy value is going to fall off a cliff here in a couple of weeks when Christian McCaffrey returns to the lineup. So if you can get him for... People are panic.
Good. Name some guys. That's what I want to see because I was going to give you some guys, but I will. You can go ahead and name some guys.
Who I mean, these might not be realistic, but like Joe Mixon, people are panicking about Joe Mixon. If you can somehow flip Mike Davis for Joe Mixon, like do that. I doubt it's going to happen, right? Like that's a, I doubt it, but yet people are still panicking on Joe Mixon. So maybe.
You're not crazy. And I know what you're saying because you're like, oh my God, this sounds insane, right? Joe Mixon for Mike Davis. But Yates, yesterday I tweeted out and you retweeted it like, hey, you have trade proposals. You want to know rest of season rankings. Feel free to ask some questions. Not anywhere close. The person who we got the most questions on was Joe Mixon. There are some people who are like, get this guy off my roster. This is not going to happen. I want to get rid of him while he has the same value. Of course, if you could trade Mike Davis for Joe Mixon, you should. But I just want to point that out. Based on the questions that I saw, you're not crazy by that's sort of a guy to go with. So that is totally fine. You would do that. Let me give a couple other names who are guys who should have more value season long. How about, would you trade Mike Davis for Joshua Kelly? Because I'm looking at our rest of season rankings, which again, you can go Yates, Tags, and I all update our rest of season rankings every single week. So we know where you guys should value people going forward from this point forward. We get a lot of other guys on there doing it as well. So this is the consensus of who would, you know, where people rank them. And so when I'm looking around Mike Davis, around guys who are ranked a little bit higher than them, that's what I really want to know. A guy like Joshua Kelly, how do you feel about that?
That's so funny. I have Kelly at 31 and Mike Davis at 32. So like these guys are back to back. I think Kelly doesn't have the ceiling like right now, right? That Mike Davis does because of his involvement in the passing game. So if you need a long-term and you can afford to, you know, just you got Mike Davis off of waivers and you can afford to ship him off because you want a season long, you know, backup asset. Like then I think you can make that trade. If you need someone right now, I would prefer to keep Mike Davis.
I think that that's really what it comes down to. And we talked about it on the Waiver Wire show with running backs. I play very week to week because I mean, you're looking at this COVID situation, especially, but we don't know how things are going to look in 3 or 4 weeks, just even generally, regardless of anything. So I would play necessarily to win now. With that said, I believe I have Kelly ranked ahead of Mike Davis going forward long term, but I'm not sure I make that trade, right? Because I feel like I really want to sell high on Mike Davis if I have him. I don't want to sell him for a guy I have ranked one spot ahead of him, right? So let me ask something. Mike Davis or Zach Moss, is that the same thing? Season long, you prefer Zach Moss, assuming that his toe injury isn't that bad. But right. For right now, you'd keep Mike Davis.
Yep. Yeah. It's in the same range.
Okay, so let's talk about AJ Green. I know we have talked about him a lot, but he is a guy who we got a lot of questions about because people have no idea how to value AJ Green. He was the sixth most traded player since Sunday. The good, he is on pace for 149 targets. That's really good. The bad, pace is 69 receptions, 619 yards, zero touchdowns. What do you do? We all liked Green. What do you do if you roster Green? Are you looking to trade him, which is probably at this point his value's lower, you know, than it otherwise would be? Are you waiting for a big game to try to sell high, or are you just like, no, I'm riding it out with this guy, I feel okay?
Yeah, right now you can't sell low. Like that's, and the targets are the, you know, exciting part. They're the appealing part of AJ Green, like that you can still hold on to him and that he's still getting the targets. It's the same way with Joe Mixon. Like Joe Mixon is getting the workload. He just hasn't been able to produce with it. So like if there's one thing that you want to bet on in fantasy football, it's the workload versus like the, you know, touchdown efficiency, right? Like these players who just come out and randomly, Jordan Howard, right? You know, like you don't want to bet on Jordan Howard scoring a touchdown every single week. You want to bet on someone who's getting significant carries like a Joe Mixon and expect that to bounce back. So with AJ Green, I don't think you can sell low because I don't think you're going to be able to get anything that is necessarily worthwhile. Like people aren't going to look at AJ Green and go like in your league and go, oh yeah, I want to buy in, unless they're Mike Tagliere. So I think, you know, looking at AJ Green, you have to either hold him and wait for the big game and then you can sell him, or hold on to him and then hold on to him, right? Like, you know, ride it out with him. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. I don't think you should sell low on AJ Green.
Yeah, I would buy low Autumn, I'm still willing to do this at this point. I think there are a couple things to remember with Greene. I mean, you mentioned it. If he's going to get that many targets, eventually the production is going to come. And don't forget, the guy has barely played football for a couple of years at this point. It takes a little while to get involved. And there were no preseason games. That is something that I want fantasy managers to continue to remember. Preseason games, while we all lament them when they're going on, they do allow players to get up to game speed and get into a rhythm. And that's especially true when you have a brand new quarterback. I think better days are ahead. I'm not going out there and being like, I'm not doing it at full value right now. But for me, yeah, I would target him and try to buy low on him. Let me give you a couple of names who are right around him in rest of season rankings. Let me just know who you prefer rest of season, Yates. Will Fuller or AJ Green?
I will go with Will Fuller.
Robbie Anderson or AJ Green?
Robbie Anderson.
Darius Slayton or AJ Green?
That's close. Yeah. I will take AJ Green there.
Yeah, that you have him right where I do as well. I mean, he's dropping, but he's not some. I mean, what you need to realize, you mentioned a little bit with Lamar Jackson. We definitely talked about it with Joe Mixon. Fantasy managers are in overreaction city at this point because we've had 3 weeks. And guys are still working out the kinks, and if they haven't seen the production, they're ready to move on. I do think better days are ahead. I agree with you basically in exactly how you're valuing him. How about Corey Davis right now? You know, you've got kind of bad rumblings right here about Brown. Corey Davis or AJ Green?
I will still take AJ Green. Corey Davis, I think, loses his value as soon as AJ Brown comes back to the lineup. So
that is the trade I'm trying to make, by the way, right there. And I think that you can make that. Corey Davis hasn't been a world beater since Brown has been out, but he is certainly getting, you know, solid general production from it. And I think that might be a trade that you can make. So that's the type of buy low opportunity that I'm looking to do. I'm not looking to swap him for a guy who I'm like, oh, you know, I have him ranked right around John Brown, assuming John Brown is healthy. Like, that's not what I want to do necessarily. But if you can sell high on someone or something to trade him for Green and buy low, I would do that. Let's get to the last guy on the list here for most trade players. I was a little surprised by this. I have a theory, but it's Michael Gallup. So he was the ninth most traded player since Sunday. He'd been held in check the first 2 weeks, 5 catches total on 10 targets, but then 9 targets, 6 catches, 138 yards, and a touchdown. How do you feel generally about Michael Gallup going forward?
Well, the first 2 weeks, I was ranking Michael Gallup as a top 24 wide receiver, and then that didn't work out. And then so I backed down, and I had him at like 31 this week. And then, of course, that's the week that he decides to go off. So that's how it goes. No, Michael Gallup, I mean, this offense is going, Dak's on pace for like 748 pass attempts on the season or something ridiculous. Like, they're just throwing the ball like nobody's business. So in that instance, and I don't think Cedric Wilson is going to continually be a part of this offense. Like, Tags mentioned it, I think it was on the Sunday recap. He was like, where did he come from? Like, where was he playing? Like, was he playing? Were they in 4 wide receiver sets? Like, and I still have yet to go back and watch through that game to figure it out, that out. But that's not going to be a thing moving forward. And it also was really frustrating because with Cedric Wilson's touchdowns and his big plays, I couldn't see the second number on his jersey. I could see the 1. And so I was like, Michael Gallup, here we go. Huge incoming. Oh, no, that's Cedric Wilson again. You know, like, so no, with Michael Gallup, I'm not concerned. I think if you can sell high, like, and get a ridiculous return, then sure. Like, any player, essentially any player, be willing to sell high if you can get a ridiculous return. It all depends on what it is right now. Like, you know, the people might not be confident that Davante Adams is going to play next week. Like, if you can somehow flip Michael Gallup and someone else for Davante Adams based off of this big performance, then do it.
So this is what I want fantasy managers who are rostering Michael Gallup to do right now. Because, Yates, I don't know if you saw this. I've been a little worried about Michael Gallup, mainly because I think the offensive line has to be really intact to allow him to get deep and allow him to have the value that we all sort of thought he would have, which is, I think, why, given how banged up they are in offensive line, why you saw more CeeDee Lamb. In this game, though, his touchdown came kind of late. I mean, Yates, let me ask something. Have you heard anything right now about a CeeDee Lamb injury?
I've not.
Mm-mm. Okay. I don't know exactly what he's a producer for the NFL Network. I believe his name is Bobby Belt, Bobby Belt TX on Twitter, I believe. He pointed out, it was really good stuff. You should check it out on Twitter. There was a big hit on Lamb. I don't know if he was returning a punt or what it was, but it was like low his knee or his ankle, kind of closer to late in the game. He sat out. The next series, it looks bad when you look at it. I mean, it looks like he would have suffered an injury. He sat out the next series and he played CeeDee Lamb on just 16 of the final 39 snaps after he played 33 of like the first 39. So he may have been a little banged up, and Gallup's huge touchdown, which came in the fourth quarter, I believe was when Lamb wasn't playing quite as much. that might have contributed to it. If it were, you know, if Lamb were on the field, it might be that Gallup still wasn't going to get quite the targets and quite that production. So what I want fantasy managers to do right now is to pay attention to the practice reports for the Cowboys. Check on Lamb. If Lamb is fully healthy, I'm still a little worried about Gallup. I think that if you can, quote unquote, sell high in this instance, I would. If Lamb returns to full practice and he was just, oh, he's a little banged up at the end of that game, and, you know, then I'm not quite as bullish on Gallup in that sense. But if Lamb is set to miss time, I think Gallup is really a guy who you might want to hold. But that's something that I really want to look at. And again, I haven't seen anything on that. I just saw this random tweet, again, Bobby Belt TX on Twitter. And it made a lot of sense to me as to why, you know, that was a big play that Gallup got at the end of the game. So anyway, just wanted to put that out there as to how I feel. All right, guys, before we keep going, I've spent the last, 15 years just staring at a computer screen. If you guys know me, you know I was a lawyer for years before doing this. That involved staring at a computer screen and reading case law and drafting like all day, every day. Even now, I stare at a computer screen and my phone a ton. And for years, my vision had just started getting a little blurrier. I got headaches. Most of all, I had trouble falling asleep. Tags and Yates know I'm messaging them at 1, 2 in the morning because I'm lying in bed and I just cannot fall asleep. I'm only now realizing that it's almost certainly that I am just constantly exposed to blue light from either my computer or my phone or watching TV because I spend like all my time, other than my daily break for Avengers Monopoly with my kids, staring at a screen. But I'm really excited. Because coming soon are my Felix Gray glasses. All three of us, me, Tags, Yates, we all wear glasses. As you guys know, if you have seen us on our YouTube channel, we're all getting a pair of Felix Gray glasses because without question, they are the best blue light glasses available. Yates has gone with the Hopper style. I am making my final choice later today. My wife and I have narrowed it down to three. I'm not allowed to make decisions that affect how I look without her final approval. But you hear about blue light glasses sometimes. But most of them don't actually filter out enough blue light, especially in the range that matters. Felix Gray's filtering technology filters out 90% of blue light in the most damaging range and eliminates 99% of glare. The frames are hand-finished from durable, super lightweight Italian acetate. You can order online. Glasses ship directly to you with free shipping with a hard case and lens cloth included. And best of all, you can try them for 30 days risk-free. If screens are not easier on your eyes, send them back for a full refund. By the way, you don't need to have a prescription like Tags, Yates, and I all do. You can get non-prescription glasses. You can get readers. The biggest thing is just filtering out the blue light. So go to felixgrayglasses.com/fantasypros. Get the best blue light filtering glasses on the market. That's felixgrayglasses.com/fantasypros. Seriously, if you spend any time looking at screens or your phone or anything like that, go check out felixgrayglasses.com/fantasypros. Okay, let's move on to our buy low, sell high segment. We can do one guy here. If you have more, we can do more than that. But who's a guy who you feel like, if you could, that we haven't talked about yet? And again, let's not do the waivers, you know, the guys who, you know, we're talking about from that we might have talked about yesterday. Who's a guy who you're looking to buy low on if you can?
I mean, Joe Mixon still. We talked about him. Like, Joe Mixon still getting consistent work on the ground, and I expect them to this offense to continue to progress as Joe Burrow gets acclimated to the NFL and only get better. And I expect Zach Taylor to wise up at some point and go, let's get Giovanni Bernard off the field and let's utilize the running back that we just paid significant money to. So again, we saw this at the beginning of last year. Mixon was not solid to start the year. He wasn't playing well. And then suddenly just, you know, turned it all around and was dominant over the last half of the season. So we still need to remember there is a very there's still a lot of games left to play in this fantasy football season. So I think with Joe Mixon, again, there are a lot of people panicking. I'm going out there and I'm sending out offers.
Joe Mixon or Kareem Hunt rest of season?
I'll lean into my rest of season rankings. I have Mixon at 15 and I have Kareem Hunt at 18.
I think that's a trade, by the way, that you can make. I think you can trade Kareem Hunt and get Joe Mixon if you want. And I think I would do that too. Right now I'm 14, 15, so I'm going to do that there. But that is something. How about Joe Mixon or James Robinson?
I still have Joe Mixon.
And I think that's a trade you can make if you're a fantasy manager, right? So I think that that's the type of thing if you believe in Mixon. And again, that offensive line is not good. But as I think, you know, people come to start respecting the pass a little bit, I mean, you know, Burrow is slinging it. He's not scared. I'm hopeful that lanes will open up for Mixon as well. And I agree that getting Gio Bernard you know, come on. Mixon is a perfectly capable pass catcher. And, you know, Taylor seemed to figure it out in the second half of last year. So that's a good one for there. I'm going to go with Jerry Jeudy. Now, I mentioned him last week and this, and he didn't have a huge game. But remember, he was very questionable coming in with a rib injury. He was a game time decision. He played just 46 of the 63 snaps. And he still has seen a 23.7% target share without Cortland Sutton. And of his 46 snaps in this past week against the Bucs, 44 of them came out of the slot. That was something we were wondering. Is it going to be Hamler? Is it going to be Jeudy out of the slot? If he stays in the slot, Tags loves to say it. They're the most valuable targets that you can have, the most valuable position. I know the quarterback sucks. I do. I do not dispute that. They get the Jets. Okay. They get the Jets on Thursday night. We have talked about it. If he is healthy, I do think that this is a game where he's going to have a big game if he continues to see the targets and as he is probably a little healthier than he was coming in. So Jeudy is a guy, and I don't know how you feel about him. No Cortland Sutton, even with the poor quarterback play. I think he's talented enough to make up for it, and I would be trying to buy low, and I would be trying to do it now, before Thursday night, because I do think that the buy low window has a chance to close shut. So how do you feel about Jeudy going forward?
Yeah, I have him at 36 in my rest of season rankings. So a guy who you can roll out as a wide receiver 3. Now, I think with the quarterback situation, that obviously limits him, you know, and puts it as like a flex play week in and week out until Drew Lock returns. When Lock returns, then like fire up, let's go, you know, because I think Jeudy is going to ascend with the rest of the offense. It's going to bounce back. So yeah, I think Jeudy is a perfect buy low candidate. As far as this week though, you know, talking about like this week against the Jets, I'm not expecting anything more than flex production.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Funny, you said 36. That's exactly where I have him ranked rest of the season. But I just don't hear anybody, you know, liking Jerry Jeudy for fantasy purposes. I think they're just like, oh, that team sucks and everything. You know, they're like going, nothing's going right there. I think he is a guy, you can go, I don't know where I'll have him ranked. I have not done yet my week 4 rankings. But, you know, I do think that he is a guy who you can get for very, very little return. And I think that's a deal worth making. Anybody else? Yates, the other guy I had on my list was Deshaun Watson. And we talked a little bit about him when Tags mentioned him as a great streamer this week. And you, of course, now have the possibility that that game will not happen against Minnesota. But remember, he has had a terrible schedule. Sorry, he hasn't been that terrible, but he's had a terrible schedule. Minnesota, Jacksonville, Tennessee coming up. I think this is a guy who, if, you know, fantasy managers who are all enamored with the big guns, with Dak Prescott and Russell Wilson, they're probably getting annoyed at Deshaun Watson. They're watching Aaron Rodgers go nuts. They like Cam Newton. I think Watson might be a guy who you can get for less than he is actually worth.
Right? Yeah, yeah. I don't hate that call. I think it all depends on what you would have to give up. You know, like, it would be very hard. Like, okay, I'll say this. If you can sell Drew Brees after his dominant performance that he just put up, and you can sell him for Deshaun Watson and his upcoming schedule, I'm fine with that.
How about Cam Newton?
No, I want Cam.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, I think that might be just a little bit where we differ. I would prefer Watson. And again, I say all this, tonight is when I'm really going to get into it, but I'm almost positive I'm going to have Watson ahead of Cam Newton. So I would do that deal if I could. Okay, let's go to sell high. Who do you have here for your sell high candidate?
I really don't have anyone jumping off the page, honestly. Like, as far as a sell high, I mean, maybe James Robinson. Like going further down the list, if you can sell James Robinson for a proven production, like proven
Joe Mixon is what we're talking about,
yeah,
right? Like that's your deal, right? Mm-hmm. That is your Tuesday deal that Yates is proposing. Sell high on James Robinson and buy low on Joe Mixon. Right?
I think you can easily make that trade right now. And even be able to throw in another piece in addition to Joe Mixon. Because based on the production right now, James Robinson is drastically outperforming Joe Mixon. So I think you could actually get Joe Mixon plus something, you know, plus a Jerry Jeudy. Let's call it that.
Yeah, that's a great call. I wouldn't have a problem making that trade. I do think when you ask people generally, and again, to be as fair as possible, James Robinson is another guy who people are asking us about, like, how do you value him rest of season? I don't know. So I'm not sure whether or not fantasy managers are buying in. And I also want to make this clear. I like James Robinson plenty.
I
rest
do too.
Of season. Like he's a solid RB2 for me without question. So I'm not basically being like, oh God, get rid of him or anything like that. It's still high. Right now, he scored 2 touchdowns on a game where Gardner Minshew looked absolutely terrible. I don't think you can rely on that going forward necessarily. But he is a guy who I wouldn't mind selling really high on. If, again, it's not sell, it's sell high. I say that all the time. That's really what you want to be thinking. For me, I'm not looking to necessarily, again, this is not a sell. This is really just a sell high. And it's really just because of the last 2 games. It's Keenan Allen. You know, 10 targets, 7 catches, 96 yards against the Chiefs, 19 targets. That's nuts.
Ridiculous.
13 catches, 132 yards and touchdown last week against the Panthers. We don't know how long Herbert is going to start. I mean, there was certainly a big difference in how he looked in his first game versus his second game. Mike Williams may be down, so, you know, that certainly may help Allen see more targets. But again, this is the type of thing where, yes, he's, you know, I like Allen rest of season. I'm not trying to get rid of him for nothing. But if you can sort of trade him for a guy like, maybe people are a little off on Mike Evans because he's not getting the targets or something like that. I would greatly do that. I would have no problem doing that in my rest of season, sort of in a trade for that. So I don't know how you feel about Keenan Allen going forward, Yates.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I just finished my player note for him for this week. And I was like, you can't deny the target volume that he's seen with Justin Herbert. And as of right now, like, there's some weird conflicting reports on Tyrod Taylor coming back this week. It was like Tyrod Taylor will not play in whatever week this is for, right? No, he might not play. You know, like, they're walking back. So it's weird. Like, we just don't know at this point. So if it is Justin Herbert again, like, and this is a tough matchup for Justin Herbert, like, against Tampa Bay this week particularly. So Keenan Allen could easily see 10 plus targets yet again, 12 plus targets. Like, it's in the realm of possibilities and it could be moving forward.
Yep, absolutely. All right, let's go to some rest of season risers and fallers. So again, as I mentioned, Yates and I both do actual rest of season rankings. So we have numbers as to where we had guys coming into this past week, where we have guys now. So Yates, why don't you give me a running back riser from this past week that has risen into this week?
Yeah, it's got to be Darrell Henderson. We got to talk about Darrell Henderson going from, in my rankings on the 25th, going from RB 40 to RB 22, because there were still some concerns on what is his involvement in this backfield look like. Does Cam Akers play this week? Does Malcolm Brown? In fact, no, this is Darrell Henderson's backfield now. And we just got news earlier this morning that he is going to be the starter against the Giants. And so moving forward, Henderson is looking amazing and we can't deny what he's doing on the football field. So I think at 22, that's where I've got him right now. I probably should bump him up even higher.
Yeah, I am 23, so I think you're fine. But again, I will finalize that after. And it's a little difficult because a lot of these guys, when you're doing rest of season rankings, you don't know exactly how long Raheem Mostert is going to be out. You know, Chris Carson, you're sort of in that weird scenario. Be like, well, do I want this? But I agree with you. I had him 35, so I was a little higher on him coming into the week. But yeah, he has bumped up now to 23. So that was my primary riser. Another guy I have, and that's the only significant mover, is Henderson. A guy who went from, oh boy, I don't really know how I feel about you, to, okay, I'm in now. I'm good. Miles Gaskin has moved up from 36th to 31st right now. Again, he doesn't get the goal line work. That's always going to put a cap on his ceiling. But, I mean, he is the guy in Miami other than around the goal line. And I think when you're going to be a guy who's going to get into that 15-touch range, guaranteed he's going to be involved in the passing game, he has sort of gone from this, oh, man, really, really borderline flex, to a guy who I'm willing to roll out there as a flex, even without the ceiling, especially when I just need a warm body to play. So he's a guy for me who has moved up a little bit. Yates, I don't know where you had, my guess is you had him lower coming in and you've probably moved him up, but not as high as I am, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's around that same range.
Okay.
Probably not as high as you, but he's in that same range for me.
All right. How about a running back faller here, Yates? Who's fallen down your rankings after this week?
I mean, it's not a ton, but Melvin Gordon from 20 to 24. So again, he's still this low-end RB2 for me. But that's a pretty significant fall when we're talking about in that RB2 range, where you need these guys to be producing for your lineup. And Melvin Gordon, just at this point, if he doesn't find the end zone, he's not going to be this consistent producer for your fantasy lineup. And with the offense taking a step back, that only hurts those opportunities. So Gordon taking a little bit of a hit, falling down my rankings just a little bit here.
Yep, I don't hate that call. It's a weird thing once you get to like 20th at running back. I mean, all these guys have just horrible warts, or they're injured, or what's going on. So Gordon clearly with the change of quarterback not going well. It's a weird thing this week where they should win handily against the Jets, but the one thing the Jets do have is a decent run defense. So it'll be interesting to see how this game unfolds. For me, nobody really of crazy note, but Leonard Fournette is a guy who I was like, okay, you are slowly going to get here closer to RB2 range. And I had him 27th coming in. Right now he's 32nd. My guess is once I kind of dig into everything after I'm done with everything today, he's going to fall to closer to like 36th. Right now I'm 32nd. And DeAndre Swift, a guy who I was still just like, oh, okay, maybe you can do something. He was 37th for me. He's down to 46th. I mean, he's a guy we've talked about. You can drop him if you need to, but he's not a guy you can rely on going forward. Wide receiver risers, if you and I do not have these same names coming in to this, at least for our main wide receiver risers, I'm going to be shocked. Go ahead. Who do you have for your wide receiver risers?
Well, now there's pressure. Go ahead. Well,
there is yours? Pressure. Don't mess it up.
Who's yours?
Okay. Tyler Lockett?
DK Metcalf? Yeah, Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf for sure. But it was also like I was pretty high on them to begin with.
I had them 16th and 17th, Lockett and Metcalf, 16th and 17th respectively. They have moved up to 8th and 9th respectively. So there's just no reason to doubt them at all anymore, or Russell Wilson or anything about Seattle.
Yeah, so Tyler Lockett was at 16 for me, and then he's now at 8. DK Metcalf at 14, he's now at 10.
Yeah, so we're basically right there, and I think we're exactly there on Lockett. So, okay, so yes, you won. You had the correct answer. I'm going to give a couple of other names. Corey Davis, and he's a guy who I mentioned you might want to sell high on if you can for AJ Green. Again, this is mostly the report on AJ Brown, but that, you know, sounds like he could be out a few more weeks, which is weird because if he's going to miss this week, then they should have just put him on IR to begin with. So I don't know if it just hasn't been responding to treatment anyway, but he's a guy who's moved up from 53rd, a guy who I did not view as having much long-term value, to now closer to 40th. He's 42nd right now. It's going to be around there when I'm done. And Alan Lazard.
I was just about to say his name. Yep.
We don't know if Davante Adams is going to miss time, but he is establishing himself as a guy who you can roll out there. And I always think back to the Scott Fish Bowl, and we were sort of all talking and joking about who we were going to draft. And I was faced with this choice, and I mentioned it, I think, in one of our preseason episodes. I didn't even want to tell you because I knew you'd be like, oh, Dan, what are you doing? You can't do that. But it was Alan Lazard versus Michael Pittman Jr. And I just sort of said, I just feel like Lazard is eventually going to run with this role. And they had that great shot on Sunday night of like Rodgers toweling down his face after he made that great catch, the long catch to do it. He's a guy who, even when Davante Adams comes back, you know, full strength, he's a guy who you're going to be rolling out there, I think, as a borderline flex or borderline wide receiver 3 play for me, and at least the flex. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, no, I will own up to this one. I missed on Alan Lazard, and he's shown me more than I anticipated. So he's shown a connection with Aaron Rodgers, and he definitely stepped up in a very, very tough matchup against the Saints last week. So Adams, obviously, with him coming back, if Adams does come back, he's taken essentially every target in this offense, right? Which leaves very little left over for Lazard. He's got to score, which doesn't move him up into anything more than a wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3, even. Like, he is a flex play moving forward where you're relying on him to score, but we can't deny what he's doing on the football field.
Yeah, and right now, to be clear, I mean, I had him 49th coming in. I have him 39th now.
Hey, so that's where I've got him. Good job.
Beautiful. Thank you, Yates. He's not a locked-in wide receiver 3, but we're talking about risers. He's a guy who you can borderline wide receiver 3, depending on what we're dealing with, and a guy you can probably throw out there as a flex if you need to. How about a faller here, Yates? Nobody jumped out to me here as a faller at wide receivers. There are a couple of guys who I've moved down, though.
AJ Brown, just due to the injury.
Sure.
And just the potential concerns surrounding how long is he going to be out, but that's kind of just cheating here. Otherwise, there really isn't anyone that I'm like, oh yeah, they definitely are just plummeting down my rankings.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I didn't have anybody who was really falling too far down my rankings necessarily. A couple of guys who have moved a little bit is Terry McLaurin, who was 13th and he's now 18th. We talked about the terrible targets that you're getting from Dwayne Haskins as long as he's there. And a lot of it is just other guys moving up, like Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf and stuff like that. Marvin Jones is a guy who's fallen down a few spots. He was 39th. He's now down to 45th. And Marcus Valdes-Scantling, just not going to happen for the guy. He was 51st. He is now 58th for me. So just a couple of guys, nothing dramatic. Nobody's fallen off the table other than injury reasons. But those are a couple of guys who are falling down. How about real quick, Yates? Anybody rising for you at quarterback?
Not really. Honestly, like these guys have kind of just been all in the same range. There's really not anyone that I'm identifying saying like, oh yeah, they're skyrocketing up my rankings.
Yeah, I have moved a couple of guys up right here. Nobody significantly. Breeze does move up a tiny bit just because I was worried about him and basically viewing him as droppable. But I do think now with Michael Thomas coming back And just with how Alvin Kamara is playing, like, yeah. I don't really care about his average depth of target at this point if you're going to be able to dump off to Kamara, especially when you're at home. But again, he's still just gone from like 15th to 12th. We're not going crazy.
The only other one, Joe Burrow, he's rising up just based on his passing volume. Like, he's just not skyrocketing, but he's slowly moving up my rankings because he's just throwing the ball a ridiculous amount, and that's going to produce for fantasy football.
How about a QB faller? Anybody? Again, these are, I think
Carson
QB
wins.
Is probably, yeah, well, goodness gracious. Where is he now, out of curiosity? Where was he?
I don't have the number on where he was, but he's at 19 now. I probably had him within my top 12. So, I mean, he's at 19 now, just above Baker Mayfield, Daniel Jones, Kirk Cousins, Nick Foles. Like, yikes.
Yeah, he's not a huge faller for me because he had already fallen. So for me, I was already jumping off before this game. For me, it's legitimately, it's an excuse to lower Ryan Tannehill just a bit because I needed a game where he looked pretty good, but did not have the crazy touchdown efficiency, just to be like, okay, look, it's not going to happen every game. But still, I believe he's my 13th quarterback going. Like, I had just bumped him into the top 12, essentially. So he's 14th, actually. I'm sorry. He's 14th for me rest of the season. Nothing crazy, but just a little something. How about tight end here? Anybody moving up your board for rest of the season?
Not necessarily that I can identify as like a huge, huge riser. I think TJ Hawkinson has been slowly moving up as far as someone who I'm gaining more confidence in. Like, I'm looking at him and his opportunity in this offense, and he's producing. He's now establishing himself as the second receiving option behind Kenny Golladay, right? Like, Marvin Jones is just falling off the face of the planet. So TJ Hawkinson has been a steady contributor.
Yeah, he was a guy who was actually on somebody who I was looking to sell high on before last week because the target share just wasn't there. But now it really may just be that, okay, with everybody healthy, with Golladay back healthy, Marvin Jones is really the odd man out, and it might just help Hawkinson overall. So I'm more holding on Hawkinson. A couple of guys who are rising for me, they're not the upper echelon type guys, but they are guys who, if you are in a league where you lost, maybe you were starting Dallas Goedert, as I was in a couple of leagues, and he's out now with a fracture in his ankle, and you're digging deep on the waiver wire. Eric Ebron, we talked about him on the waiver wire show. He is a guy who I think now I feel a little more comfortable with him rest of season. I moved him from 23rd to 17th. Rob Gronkowski is a guy who I'd basically moved entirely off my board. Like, you were not allowed to start Rob Gronkowski anymore. I do think that, especially with the Chris Godwin injury, he's probably going to miss a few weeks at least. And with the emphasis on trying to get Gronkowski the ball a little bit, he's moved into the 20th range from the 26th range. Again, you're not starting him if you can. And a guy who, my guess is, after I'm done fully doing my sweep this afternoon, will move up a lot more, is Mo Alie-Cox, who, you know, Tags called it the genie out of the bottle. Not ready necessarily to say that. But again, we were talking about that before we knew the extent of the Michael Pittman Jr. injury. And that's a big one because they're just down bodies. And, you know, they could run a lot of two tight end sets, even with Doyle healthy. So right now he's only moved from 27th to 21st. But I could easily see him once I'm done. Again, the difference between all these guys is very minor. So I could easily see him getting to like 15th, maybe even higher, once I kind of do some digging into looking how the Colts are going to be doing this. But he's certainly a riser. I've got a couple. How about a faller? Anybody of note?
I mean, Evan Engram was someone who I wasn't super optimistic
on. Can you
on.
Drop him any more than you had him already?
Well, no, here's the thing. So, like, Evan Engram, I was identified. My whole thing in draft season was, don't draft Evan Engram as a sixth tight end off the board. Like, I just didn't see that happening because of the other receiving options in the offense. It wasn't that I was at, like, looking in a crystal ball and saying that Evan Engram was just going to be terrible on the football field. You know, like, he's always had the athleticism, but it was from the perspective of with all these receiving options healthy. So then after week one, week two, you know, where Saquon goes out, Sterling Shepard goes out, I was like, okay, I can see a path here for Evan Engram to start to be a borderline tight end one again, because he's going to start to see the targets. Well, then guess what? It didn't happen, you know, because this offense is just atrocious. And so now he is falling back down my board. And so, yeah, I've got him at 19 right now. I don't want to touch him.
This should be a situation where you should be good. There are, you know, your other options are slowly getting injured. And, you know, you once had one of the great rookie seasons of all time and you're talented, but he's just not playing well at all. Like, it's just not good. So I have no problem with that. For me, a little lower end, Chris Herndon, there's just no, I don't care how few other options there are. Any Jet, go away. He was still 18th for me, is now 24th. And O.J. Howard, again, this is much more about Gronkowski, where it now seems that they are going to Gronkowski a little more. He was 22nd. He's now 26th. Okay. How about a little listener mailbag? We got some great questions here coming on. Let's start with from Matthew DuPont. It's a dynasty question for you, Yates. I know you love it. He has Kareem Hunt. Someone has offered him Deebo Samuel and DeAndre Swift. Do you make that deal? Do you deal in dynasty Kareem Hunt for Deebo Samuel and DeAndre Swift?
It depends on if I'm wide receiver needy, but I would prefer the Kareem Hunt side of that.
Okay. Lots of questions about Beckham. One from Matt, no last name, one from Nick Oliver. They both essentially want to trade Beckham. Should they trade Beckham now? Should they wait for a big performance? And if you are looking to trade him, who would you be targeting in terms of trying to get a return for him?
It's so hard to identify those types of, because each league is going to value someone like OBJ very, very differently. So I think as far as the first part of the question, like, you need to be waiting for the big blow up performance. Like, and I think it has to come on the heels of them throwing the ball more than 23 times, right? Because OBJ, with that low passing volume, he has to score a touchdown for his numbers to hit wide receiver two value. So in a game where they're going to be throwing the ball, and they're up against Dallas this week, so that's this could right. be a game where you wait for OBJ to get 10 targets, 9 targets in this one. He has a good chance of scoring. That's when you flip him, and that's when you sell high in Dynasty. And you go after maybe another top tier option. But again,
this isn't Dynasty, just to be clear. This is redraft, this one.
Okay, so then I think you sell high at that point. And you look at, okay, can I go get, let's say, a wide receiver who's been in the top 10, has a down week this next week because of a matchup. Then I will go after and try to flip OBJ for that player. You know, but again, it's going to be so difficult for me to try to identify who that player is, because each league is going to say, like, oh yeah, I want OBJ because I want to buy into the talent level, or they're going to say, no, I don't want to touch OBJ because he's burned me so many times in the past.
Yeah. So I have kind of been outspoken about how, you know, bearish I've been on OBJ coming into the season. I've remained so, of course, because for the exact reason, he's got 6 targets each of the last 2 games. That's what you're going to see for the most part. You nailed it correctly. They play Dallas this week. It's probably a game they're going to have to throw. I think Beckham is going to be more involved. After that is when you try to trade him. In terms of what you can get, I agree. It's very difficult when you say, oh, well, what should I look to trade for? It's very, very difficult. Again, I will be writing the trade chart, so you should check that out and see where I have him and look for somebody whose value is higher than that. But I do think coming into this week, Tags had OBJ as number 10 in his rest of season wide receiver rankings. I think I had OBJ 26th. So it is something where you can really, really capitalize on that value, and you might be able to get, I mean, if Adam Thielen has a bad game coming up, if they play and OBJ has a good game, you might be able to make that deal. People are really frustrated with DJ Moore, even though he's getting the targets and getting involved. That might be something you can make. I'd swap him for Terry McLaurin, even with the terrible quarterback play. That's the type of thing you can do. But don't do it yet, because he's coming off a mediocre game. Look for him to have a big game, hopefully against Dallas. And then I would go for a wide receiver that's a little higher. Let's go to Robbie Martin, friend of the baseball podcast. Where do you rank James Robinson in PPR for the rest of the season among running backs?
He's at 20 and a half PPR, so he does get a slight bump up from that based on his usage in the receiving game. I mean, 6 catches, 83 yards off the top of my head last week. That's great. So I think he gets a slight bump up. He's probably will land at like 17, 18 in full PPR formats. So rest of the season, he's a consistent RB2.
Yep, I'm 17th and half PPR. I think he actually is there also in PPR, just because the guys I have ahead of him there, you know, Kareem Hunt, basically also benefit from that. So I do think that is essentially where he lacks. But yeah, rock solid RB2, half PPR or full PPR. John Thomason, I'm hurting at tight end. Would you trade Joe Mixon for Travis Kelce?
Yeah, if you can get that. I mean, and if you have the running back depth, right? Like, that's the key part. If you have the running back depth, which is crazy if you do based on all these other injuries, like if you have that, then yeah, like send Joe Mixon off for Travis Kelce if you desperately need a tight end, because Kelce is a locked and loaded tight end, like the tight end one every single week. So yeah, I would do that, but only if I have the depth to support it.
I don't know why you need to. First of all, if you can make that trade, congratulations, because that's a good job considering what I see people thinking about Joe Mixon. But yeah, even if you, I mean, as long as you are not like dead at running back, you make that trade. That's not close for me at this point. Fourth and Pete, rest of season, Tyler Boyd or AJ Green?
Tyler Boyd. It was always Tyler Boyd for me. I had AJ Green further down.
How out of curiosity, where are they in your rest of season rankings? Are they very far apart, or are they close and you just narrowly prefer?
They're not very far apart. I have Tyler Boyd at 25, and I have AJ Green at 32.
Okay. From Cole, rest of season full PPR, David Johnson or David Montgomery?
David Montgomery.
Even in full PPR?
Yeah, because Tariq Cohen's out.
Okay. Finally, let's finish up on this. Garrett Miller, are you selling high on James Conner?
No.
Putting aside that we don't know if they're going to play this weekend, of course, but yeah.
No, I'm not selling high because I'm still willing to invest. I think with Anthony McFarland seeing some involvement in the offense, I loved McFarland coming out. So, like, that is something.
He looked good, by the way, too. He did look good to finally get him
up. He's so explosive. He was dealing with injuries last year at Maryland, too. His 2018 tape is ridiculous. So, with McFarland, he could definitely eat into the workload, but James Conner is still going to be the main guy. Benny Snell is not a thing. So, I think it all depends on what you can get. If you can, you know, wait a week and you can somehow get Christian McCaffrey and you have the running back depth to support it, like, that point, sure. But otherwise, I'm fine holding on to him.
Yep, exactly the same. And let's make that clear. If you can sell high on anyone, then you do it, because you are the definition of sell high is to sell higher than their value is. But I believe that Connor's perceived value in the market matches his actual value. Mike Tomlin, he didn't lead us astray. He said, this is my workhorse back. And everybody got scared after that first week, myself included, because it was like, this isn't even an injury. Why is this happening? And then he was like, no, I'm healthy coming in. And since then, Benny Snell has not been a thing. Yeah, McFarland factored in a little bit, but Connor got the touchdown. He's being used as you want your workhorse running back to be used. So yeah, don't look to get rid of him. Don't run out there searching for a way to capitalize on what's happening with Connor. Because I think we're in agreement here. I think that's basically what you can expect going forward. So he's great for your roster. All right, that's it for today. Great work, Yates. You know, are you ready to do a little waiver wire live stream in like 2 hours or
sure.
something like that? Yeah,
sure.
Let's do it. Good. I've also got an AMA on Reddit. You won't know about it because it will have happened by the time, but go read the transcript or something. Don't forget, enter our contest over at fantasypros.com/contest. Leave an honest review. Monster giveaway, Clyde Edwards-Helaire helmet, all the good stuff. Thanks to FanDuel. Try out their new snake drafts. Get a free entry into a contest all season long, or get a 20% deposit match on your first deposit of up to $500. Just go to FanDuel.com/fantasypros. And Felix Gray Glasses, I guarantee that you guys do not realize how much blue light your eyes are exposed to. You want to eliminate blue light and glare? Choose the best blue light glasses on the market. Go to FelixGrayGlasses.com/fantasypros. Try them out. Risk-free. FelixGrayGlasses.com/fantasypros. We'll be back tomorrow with our Start Sit show. We'll talk to you then.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom. Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.